Am I on? Great. Oh, it's so nice to be here. It's great to be back. The last time I actually preached on a Sunday morning was 9 years ago. So it's been a while. It was summer of 2007. So there's some new faces. That's good. And it's also great to see everyone who was here last time, 9 years ago. It's nice to see you too. So it's so interesting how the Bible is a history of God's faithfulness, right? But your testimony is too. And so it's interesting how every one of our testimonies is a faithful, is a proof of evidence of how God has been faithful to you and shown so much grace in your life, isn't it? So I'm so thankful for the years that I had here. Thing I was sharing with Pastor Scott was I just finished a tour. We just finished 5 years of service overseas, and we did a tour from sea to shining sea, from San Diego to Virginia Beach in Norfolk, Virginia. And on the way, I saw a woman who just finished her whole career as a missionary, translating the Bible into the Ichu language. And you know who she grew up with at Faith Bible Church? My mother. So that's Carol Barrera. She and her husband, Rodrigo, just finished 38 years in the jungles of Guatemala. 38 years. And they just retired in Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is close to my mission, Tentmakers Bible Mission. So isn't it interesting what the Lord does? It is. It's very interesting. But I don't want to get off topic. So here we are with the Great Commission. So, probably pretty familiar to you is Acts 1, Matthew 28, right? The Great Commission. Jesus conquered the grave. And then what did he do 40 days later? He went back to the right hand of the Father. The Lamb who was slain before the beginning of the world went back to sit on the throne with the Father, with the glory of the Holy Spirit above them. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're on the throne. And so, 40 days after his crucifixion, the Lord called the 11 to go meet with him by the mountain there. And he said, "All power on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all ethnos." Right? Every nation of the earth must hear the good news. The Messiah, promised by the Old Testament, has come. He finally come. He brought good news. He brought good news to the captives. He set us free from the bondage of sin, from our death penalty. Set us free from all that. And then he himself conquered death. And he tells us, "Now you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." That is what a Christian is called to do. So this morning, we're going to talk about how do you go about doing that. You might say, well, that's easy for you. You're a missionary, right? You might say, Well, what am I supposed to do? I live in San Bernardino. I live in Del Rosa. I live in Highland. How am I supposed to do that? So we're going to look at that. But first, let's look at our scripture. We're in Matthew 28, verse 18. Amen. So some of you, while you're looking there, you're probably wondering, well, are you going to talk about Spain? Yeah. But I don't want to put the wagon in front of the horse. So I'm going to do the message first. And then after the message, we're going to show you pictures of God's faithfulness this last 11 years overseas. And you can see all of our Spaniards, Andaluces, water gypsies, North Africans. You can see all of that. But I'll put the pictures up afterwards. So right now, We're in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now let's flip over to Acts 1. And I know a lot of you know these verses, but it's good. It's good. So let's go to Acts 1. And, you know, let's actually, yeah, let's start in verse 6. Acts 1, verse 6. Are you there? Amen? "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" And tonight there's a flyer out there for Stand with the Land with my friends Joyce Handler, Rochelle Pearl, and David Hawking. That's my shameless plug. But I'll be there tonight too. "When will the Lord restore the kingdom of Israel?" But what does the Lord say in verse 7? "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" So today, my first point is about how we do not want to exclude half of the Lord's instructions. Do you sometimes? And when you're honest, do you consider yourself that you're a witness in your Jerusalem and in your Judea and your Samaria and to the ends of the earth, the corners of the earth? Could you say that? And I know that's easy for me to say because I'm a missionary. I'm a foreign missionary, so I can go pointing the finger. But honest question. Do you feel like you're a witness to the ends of the earth for the Lord? And I have a few funny examples, which are good. And first one is, everyone's heard a preacher say that you can tell me all you want about how you are a Christian, but people are going to want to see your life, right? You've heard that, right? I've heard it my whole life. You can tell me all you want about what you know about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Do you really believe it? Do you really act like it after you say bye to everyone after church and go, and how are you from when you leave Chili's until next Sunday morning? Well, you know, you've heard that, right? So, are you his witness in Samaria? What's Samaria then? Right? Is Samaria, I don't know, Nevada? Could it be Mexico? Could it be the former Soviet bloc? What's Samaria? And then, what's the ends of the earth? Is it North Korea? Is it Saudi Arabia? Is it Libya? Is it in the countries where they're crucifying Christians? It's happening. Christians are being crucified. Ooh, I didn't think I was going to get so excited about that. Beheaded. Our brothers are being slaughtered in North Africa. Soon Sarah and I are moving 10 miles from an Islamic state when we get back in May. Ooh, thank you, Winston. God bless you. Ooh, didn't think I was going to get so excited so soon. Well, when we get back to Spain, we're going to be 10 miles from an Islamic state. How much do you believe? Do you believe if it's going to kill you? Do you? And we can laugh. Yeah, I believe. Okay, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about what you believe? If someone puts a gun to your head and says, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Would you say yes? They fit that into a movie the other year. What was it? Is it called The Cross? I don't remember what it's called in English. The Cross. Do you believe? I think is the movie. Do you believe the guy who carries the cross? But they fit a scene like that into a Christian movie. And a guy puts a gun to a pastor and said, do you really believe all that? He had to think about it for a minute. Yeah. Looking at the gun. Yeah. I believe. So the Great Commission should make us uncomfortable. We can't leave out the second half of the message. It's wonderful that you are collecting food for veterans and for our active military. That's wonderful. And going down to 2nd and G and reaching out to people in the Spanish-speaking community, that's wonderful. That's your Jerusalem. Maybe you could even say 2nd and G is your Judea, right? Okay, but the second half. And I'm not saying all of you have to go get on a plane with me and we go over to the Strait of Gibraltar. After, you can still go to Chili's afterwards. I want you to think very seriously in today's message. All right. So, I almost didn't even get to my funny points. I went straight to the serious. But you know what James 1:22 says, right? Don't be hearers only. Don't be listeners only. Don't just sit in a pew your whole life. Do what it says. Do what it says. So then you have to start thinking about this. You and the Holy Spirit, how am I going to do what Scripture says? How am I going to be part of that? In what ways am I the hands and feet of Christ? Christ could have written, I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Messiah. He could have written it on the sky. But instead, he gave us the heavens to declare the glory of God, right? He could have sent angels, right? But he didn't. What did he do? He said, you will be by witnesses. What a crazy game plan, right? He trusted us, imperfect people, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. He said, I will establish my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? What a crazy game plan, right? He's trusted us. And 2,000 years later, we're still here. And do you know that these Islamic governments don't know how to stop it? The Vietnamese government doesn't know how to stop the revivals. How are we going to get Bibles out of these people's hands? And they end up resorting to just killing these people because they can't stop them from meeting under oppression. If it was banned in San Bernardino, California, to come to church, would you find a way? Sneaking by, making a run for it when the cops aren't looking, going in an unmarked van, and running out one by one. Yeah, people do that. We're going to be 10 miles, my family is going to be 10 miles from Morocco, where Christians have to find a way to get to a secret meeting spot. They have to find a way. And they know they might not get home after church. That's what it means to be a persecuted Christian. It's very, very intense being a Christ follower in countries where the Bible is banned. And you know, Spain is just going on 36 years of religious freedom. We're enjoying 36 years. So now we're at the place where you have the green light, looking over to Morocco and Libya and Egypt and Algeria and Senegal. And at least now Spain has 36 years of saying, well, we have religious freedom. You can make it across the Mediterranean. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to be at the principal ports of entry for North Africans into Spain. See, I'm already giving away the whole part at the end. So I always do that. I always start saying the best details at the front. I said I would do it. But Spain has this special opportunity to reach the ends of the earth, right there in the Strait of Gibraltar. And that's where God's called us for this next term of service. So, please pray for us. But I'm going to leave that on hold. You can go see our table afterwards about how we are going to try to reach the ends of the earth, which for us are Spain and Morocco. Okay? So, don't you hate it when you ask a teenager to go do something? They're like, yeah, I'll do it. And then you wait a while. You go into another room. And then like 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, okay, so did you do it? Yeah, I'll do it, okay? Right? And right, do they get defensive? I'm going to do it, all right? Okay, I was just following up, right? I was just going to see if you were going to do it. Okay, and then you go out and you do something, right? And then you come back to see if the kids did it again. Okay, did you do it? And no answer. No response, right? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Are Christians ever like that to their Heavenly Father? Like, okay, have you done it yet? Yeah, I'm about to. Okay, did you do it now? Yeah, I'm getting there. Don't be so, right? Can we be like that? We can't leave out the second half of the message. Isn't that true? Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a lot of work to do. The 1040 window has 3 billion people. Does everyone know what the 1040 window is? Does anyone not know what the 1040 window is? Oh, good. No, I'm glad you asked. 1040 window, that's longitude and latitude. And that stretches from Senegal, West Africa, just north of the Côte d'Ivoire, and then there's Western Sahara, Morocco, all the way to Indonesia, North Korea, part of southern Japan, right? It's a 1040 window. It encompasses all of North Africa and the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, all those nice places to live and work these days, right? All the way out to North Korea. That's the 1040 window. It has the 50 most unreached cities on the planet. And so that's why it's called the 1040 window. This longitude and latitude has 50 of the world's biggest cities with almost no born-again Christians. And sometimes even if there were stats, they can't list them because they're undercover. So we have to have our hearts broken for the unreached. And I love that Faith Bible Church was the first church to support me as an overseas missionary. You were the first in 2005, before I had any other, saying, we will commit to support you every month. So grateful. So you guys have been equipping world changers for a long time, since my grandparents were here under Pastor Wendt, the 1960s. Yeah, Faith Bible Church has been doing a faithful work for a very long time. Since before 1950, Pastor Scott? Yeah, 1950? Yeah, at least the building was from 1950. But yeah, so yeah, you need to continue. Not say, okay, we did a good job. Okay, now what's the next step? How are we going to individually do it? Because part of what I want to get across this morning is you can say, oh yeah, my pastor's doing a great job. Oh, my family's doing a great job. My church is. But, okay, well, what about you? How are you helping to fulfill the Great Commission? And we're going to get to those points, okay? Now I got to get myself on. I turned the page at least. This is my second page. Good. So, I'm actually down to part C now. I think I skipped over a few. But A was, by their fruits, you'll know if a Christian is obedient. That was point A. Did we ever get that up? But is it up here? No? Okay. But A was, by their fruits, you will know if a Christian is obedient. Matthew 7:16, right? Point B, Don't be hearers only. Do what it says. And then the question, are all called to believe on him who was sent? Yes. All need to hear about Jesus. Everyone on this planet has to know. One day, when Messiah comes back, when Jesus returns, no one will say, know the Lord, because the whole earth will be full. But we're not there yet. There's a lot of people out there who don't know the good news. And that's sort of where I'm going for this morning. We got to get the good news to these countries, to these distant shores, to the Middle East, to North Korea, to North Africa. They're dying without knowledge of Jesus Christ. So many don't even know who that was. You could say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Who? Don't even know. Don't even know what that is. We have to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And then, here's the tough question. Should all who believe take the good news? And I gave several ways you can be a part of that. I'm not saying you all have to get on a plane tomorrow, but there's a lot of things that you can do, like going to 2nd and G and feeding people down there, right? Like giving to our active military, yeah? Like inviting people to church. There's lots of practical things you can do right here. But here's a couple here. Number one, you can go. Maybe the Lord will convict you. With time, at the right time, you might say, well, have you ever given thought to being my witness in Indonesia? Have you ever given thought to going to teach at a Bible college in India? Right? Maybe the Lord will say, well, have you ever given thought to working in an orphanage in Malawi? Right? Maybe the Lord will plant that eventually. But our calling as Christians isn't just to receive and receive from the church our whole life. It's to that's just the first step is hearing. Being discipled, getting to a point of spiritual maturity, like James 1 says, you know, James 1, 2 through 4. We face trials, we face difficulty in life to get us to spiritual maturity. And that spiritual maturity gets us ready for battle, to going out into war. Because you've probably heard that the example that the church isn't just a cruise ship. It's supposed to be a battleship, right? We're not just to be there to be seeing, you know, if they have good, you know, piña coladas and a good buffet, right? Good entertainment. No. Everyone has to be manning their guns. Every single one of us should be the hands and feet of Christ. We should all be serving a purpose in Faith Bible Church, right? Everyone should have some way. Well, I'm not a good teacher. Okay, well, can you bring food for the Thanksgiving thing, right? Can you go help with the Hispanic ministry, feeding the homeless? Can you help driving people who maybe can't drive anymore, right? There's a lot of things you can do. So much you can do. God has made every single person very, very unique. All of you have so much worth. And you need to really believe that. God has made you completely how he wanted you to be to fulfill the purpose he wanted you to fulfill. So the question is, how much are you going to believe that and do something about it? You're just how God wanted you to be to fulfill his purpose in the church. So you can go, you can give. And as a missionary, we very much appreciate your monthly support. You can help. Help in so many ways. You can help missionaries. You can find out what's going on with your missionaries overseas, locally. Okay, well, is there anything that we can do? Is there something that I can do? I don't know. With your newsletters, with your event, with your children's needs. You know, you can find out, how can I fill in those gaps, right? There's so much you can do to help. You can pray. You can be interceding for the persecuted church. You can be interceding for the Bible college professors in the Congo. You can be interceding for the Bible colleges that are meeting secretly in the Middle East, for the churches that are scared for their lives in Lebanon, that Hezbollah is going to follow them to church. You can be praying for them. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for our church to be united. That born-again Christians can do what they were created to do and see how God's going to change the world. It's amazing how the church is growing where they're in third world situations and they're in persecution. They can't put a top on the Vietnamese church because they're being born again and equipped and they're changing their country where it's not allowed. It's like Ho Chi Minh's worst nightmare, right? The earth will be full of the glory and knowledge of the Lord. Amen? But isn't that something, that the gospel is going forward where it's being persecuted? In China, they don't know what to do with all these house churches in China. They're almost like throwing up their hands. We've lost it. We can't ban the Christians anymore. We can't ban religion anymore. They're sort of throwing up their hands. Well, what are we supposed to do? We've lost. Because the Chinese Christians are saying, whether this kills me or not, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to pick up my execution stake, my cross, and follow him. And that's what that means. You know that, right? Pick up your cross means pick up your form of execution. Are you ready to be executed for Christ? Yeah? Don't you think about when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, one of the last times with Peter and John, and he fed them fish, and he said, "You really love me? Do you really love me?" And he kept asking and asking Peter, right? "Do you really love me?" "Yes, I love you." You can think about the funny teenager again, right? My example. "Do you really love me?" "Yes." "Do you really love me?" "Yes, I love you." "You really, really love me?" "Yes." "Yes." "Okay. Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Take care of the flock." We need to be loving the church, not dividing, not looking for what's wrong. How can I help raise Faith Bible Church? What on earth can I do to make it grow, to make it continue sending out missionaries, to bless the Christian school here, right? What can I do? And you should be looking, how can I be unifying and strengthening the church here in San Bernardino, California, right? And you'll see how the Lord's going to just bless you. When you get to those points of spiritual maturity, the Lord's just going to bless you. Sometimes you'll see it years later, sometimes decades. But the Lord always keeps his promises. The very least, very, very least, we know you'll get those crowns. once you've crawled to heaven, bloody knuckles and arthritis, and you'll have this big hunk of crown. And you'll see him. You'll see Jesus himself. Well done. Doesn't that blow your mind? You'll see him. And he'll say, "There you are, my good and faithful servant. You did it. You did it." Now, you know, when the Lord said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," he didn't say, "And nothing will ever happen to you. No one will ever call you names. No one will ever behead you." He told them, "Go." But you know what he did say in Scripture? He says, well, he tells the author of Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 31. So we're asking this question, that almost everything is left to be done in the 1040 window. So do we take being Jesus' witnesses to the end of the earth seriously? Do we really take seriously our orders? Are we sort of, what's the worst that could happen, right? So when he calls us to our worst life now, to suffering overseas, to being lonely, to being laughed at, to martyrdom, to having to raise your children in the middle of a violent situation, will you say, yes, I'll go, I'll obey? You obey the Lord in those situations? Because the Lord calls us to suffering sometimes. Sometimes he calls us to a chapter of our life where we're going to suffer. And look what Hebrews 10:31 says. It says, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, after you heard the gospel and believed, I believe in Jesus, right? Do you remember that day? Yes, I believe. I accept his gift, right? You remember that day? After you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Be companions of the missionaries out there who are in India, who are risking their lives to take the gospel to Iraq, to Libya. Be their companions. Write a birthday card. Write a letter of encouragement to your missionaries. Be it a chosen people, the Coens, or whoever. Write them a card and say, we so love what you're trying to do with your life. Keep on and write them some scripture verses. We're so behind that. But there's so many things you can do, even if you never move. There's so many things you can do to help extend the gospel to the end of the earth. But there are people suffering, and you can be a companion of people who are suffering. And probably, you've probably heard that there's probably more people out there suffering than you know. Because a lot of people run around with a smile, and I have before, because it can be lonely overseas. Sometimes it's hard when you feel like there aren't that many friends, there aren't that many people you can talk to when you're in another country. And yet, write to your missionaries. Be there for them. Help them. Give an encouraging word. Because we are all one body. And one piece of the body can't say, I don't need the other piece. No, we need each other. We're all a vital part of a working body. Romans 8:17. Are you there? Ha ha ha. Romans 8. In fact, I want to start at 16, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we, what? Suffer. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And Paul goes on to say, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. This planet is waiting to see when the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. And no one will have to say, believe in Jesus. Because everyone will see him. He'll be there, physically, on his throne, in Jerusalem. And all the nations will go up to Jerusalem. And we'll see him. Him. There. Do you believe that? It's going to be incredible. The messianic kingdom of Christ on this earth is going to be incredible. He will be reigning. And the name of the Lord will be one. And that day it says the Lord will be one and his name one. You know why? there won't be any other belief. No unbelief, no scoffers, no false religions. It will be one name, the Lord. He is God. Amen? It's going to be incredible. So when we think about that big picture, we will reign with Christ in Jerusalem and in heaven, in eternity, the new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. We're going to be there for eternity, so we shall be with him forever. It's going to be incredible. So, thinking about that, your sufferings in the next 5 years, 10 years, are nothing. A 0.0002, right? It's nothing. Compared with the greatness of knowing, our soul will live on forever with Christ. That's incredible. So when Christ calls us to take the good news, it's difficult. It's boot camp. It's very difficult what he calls you to do. But is it going to be difficult forever? No, not forever. Just in this life. As long as we're in this flesh and blood, which with time will go wear down and wear down, and it's just a shell, then one day we're going to pass from this old shell and we'll be with him. It's going to be incredible. Try to imagine the greatest thing you can imagine. And no, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what it's going to be like. Because he's preparing it. That's just incredible. His promise that I go to prepare a place for you. That's just incredible. Jesus is thinking about how we love things, how we like things. He knows your preferences. What color, what style. Oh no, I like wood. Oh no, I like marble. Oh no, I like... Oh, I want a, sports theme. Oh, I like flowers. You know, the Lord knows. He knows just what you like. And there's going to be a place for you. It's going to be incredible. You're just going to be blown away. So, considering that, look at the difficult job before you as it's only for a time. These are passing sufferings that we will overcome eventually in that great day. Isn't that great? So what if the Lord has called you to die a martyr's death, like the prophet Zechariah, martyred in the temple, like Nate Saint or Jim Elliot, right? Mission Aviation Fellowship, right? What if he's called you to a death like that? Are you going to be a coward? Uh-oh. What does the scripture say about being a coward? What does it say? Well, first, Galatians. I've been preaching in Galatians and James this year, so those are my go-to books. I have them real fresh. But Galatians 5:24 says, and this is about, what about your desire? What about the thing you're really burning for in life, right? How about things you're burning for that you really want, that you really say, it's not fair, God. I want this or that, right? And God's telling you, give that up. You don't need that, right? And all of you know what your struggles are. Your resentments, your bitterness. I wish I had this different, right? You all have your thing. Well, what does it say? It says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The Lord knows what those stumbling blocks are, right? And he asks you, just give it to him. Give it up. And just hand it over. Say, I can't handle this problem in my life. I don't know. This tendency, this addiction, this resentment, right? You know what your issues are. Crucify them, right? Crucify them. Put them to death. Say, I can't handle these problems. Here. You carry them, because he says, my yoke is easy, right? My burden is light. Come to me. Christ is always opening his hand, saying, can I carry that for you, right? The question is, do we use that bellhop service, right? That room-to-room service. Christ wants to carry your burdens. And what do so many Christians do? They try to carry them themselves, right? right? So we have to crucify those passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You have to be sensitive to what God's telling you to do in your life. And when you obey God and you don't doubt, like James 1:6 says, God answers your prayers, He delivers those victories, and He helps you fulfill your mission. We have to pray, have to have a prayer life. If you're not spending time with the Lord from Sunday to Sunday, something's very wrong. If you're not cracking open this from Sunday to Sunday, you need to talk to Pastor Scott, right? If you're really, really His son, you're going to want to talk to your Father. You have to talk to Him. Spend time right here. Spend time right here. Got to do it. It's vital for you to be walking in the Spirit, walking our true Christian life. It's not just by your efforts. Because when it's by your efforts, you're going to burn out. You're going to be one of those Christians, they say, oh yeah, they used to come to church. But they walked away. They burned out. They left the faith. Right? You know people like that, right? Because they were trying to be religious by their own efforts, like the false religions do. And if you're doing that, you're going to get burned out. But if you're really living full of the Lord in your life, He's the one carrying you. And it's so different. So, Galatians 6:4 says, let each one examine his work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, I'm not talking, this is different than what I was talking about, Christ bearing your passions and desires. This is talking about each Christian participating. Right? Like your Thanksgiving dinner. Are you helping to carry your part in Faith Bible Church? Right? Are you bringing something for the military food drive? Right? Or are you bringing something to the Thanksgiving dinner or just showing up all the time? No. How are you? How are you carrying your load? Because I've heard so many times, God does not have grandchildren. Do you know what that means? You can't depend on your parents. Well, my parents are believers. You know, my parents are Christian, you know, so I'll probably go to heaven. What? No. You have to be born again. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Every single person must believe and own their own faith. And that's something that I learned very young. Here at San Bernardino Christian, going to Sunday school, each person must own their faith in Christ. It can't belong to your sibling or your best friend or your mother, your grandparents. No, you have to own your faith. It's yours alone. For each one shall bear his own load. Let's see. Finally, God will blow your mind with what He has planned. And I was sort of making reference to this earlier, but let's skip down to Revelations 21:2. It says, then I, John, Revelations 21, here we are at the very end of the Bible, you're almost to the maps, right? Revelations 21, verse 2. Amen? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will, what? Dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. Emmanuel, God with us. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And isn't this verse great? Verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. You can add leukemia. You can add cancer, right? Victims of war, all of that. Orphans who die, all of those. All of those. God will wipe every tear from their eye. No more chemotherapy, right? No more radiation treatments. God will wipe away every tear. No more suffering. We'll be with Him forever. It's incredible, these promises. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. They'll all be a former thing. Like remembering the war and being so glad it's over. Oh yeah, during the war. But it's over. The war is done. It's a thing of the past now. It's a former thing. Amen. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Your body, right? Body that gets worn down, tired. My neck, I could barely move my neck to lift up my daughter yesterday from driving coast to coast. lifting her up or something. Couldn't turn to like see passing. I had to turn all my shoulders to see passing on the freeway yesterday. I couldn't turn my neck, so I was going like this. All of those aches and pains, right? Be all gone. It'll be new. A new person. And everything that's wrong with you, that's flawed, be gone. Gone. Burned away. And what'll last? The gold. Right? It'll be pure gold. How you were meant to be. And your works that you did with a good conscience for the Lord, pure gold. And silver. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful. And everything else that you didn't do with a pure heart, you did grudgingly. Oh, that'll burn away. But it'll be a test of everything that you did. People never knew about. Say a note you wrote, a check you wrote and sent to somebody who was in need, who was hurting, right? Everything that you did secretly, that's going to be pure gold in heaven. The Lord will reward you so greatly. The Lord's going to blow your mind with what He'll do when you obey, when you take Him seriously, when you take everything He told you to do. You say, "Okay, I'll do it. Yes, sir. Right away, sir." The Lord will blow your mind with what He has planned. Right? Verse 6, it says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And part of what I've been trying to say in this message is we don't want to be cowards. We don't want to be soldiers who don't do their orders, right? And I'm sort of tying it up with verse 8 here. It says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. So this is just a huge, bright picture of the future when God will make all things right. And He'll separate the sheep from the goats. Even churches will have goats in them, right? The Lord will separate them all out. Everything will be judged justly in the day of the Lord. And there'll be the great rewards. And there'll be great punishment. And that shows how the Lord is just. He's holy. He doesn't let anyone off for something wrong they did. And having never repented and gotten right. Because He's a just judge. He's not corrupt. So He must judge. Because He is a holy God. And so on that great day, the Lord will be just. He will reward those who with a contrite heart repented and believed on Him who was sent. And those who rejected Him their whole lives will be punished for all that they did. That's why the Great Commission is so important. We must not be cowardly soldiers who hide in the foxhole shaking when it's our unit's turn to advance, right? We don't want to be there shaking, panicking, calling for mama. It's very hard being in those situations. But how great it is to hear a veteran say, and when they said charge, we charged. We took the beaches, right? I've been by the beaches in Normandy. It's wild. And the beaches near where I'm going to be stationed in the southern tip of Spain, there was fighting there because the Spanish were on Hitler's side in the 30s. And so the Christian camp where I'm one of the program directors, they made munitions for the Nazi Germany. At that, because it was a military base and a factory. And that is now our evangelical Bible camp in Andalusia, Spain. Isn't that something? The Lord makes all things new. Makes a new day. Yeah, it was one of Franco's military camps when he was aligned with Hitler. And now we're doing Bible camps there each summer. Is the Lord good? And in the beaches there of the Strait of Gibraltar, you still have the big bunkers. Huge, huge works of engineering and military defenses there in British Gibraltar. Because they were, you know, fighting on the North African side and on the Spanish side. And you see all these bunkers, and you see all these beaches where soldiers had to run out on the beach. Will you be valiant on that day when the Lord calls you? You need to go share Christ with this person. You need to run out to 2nd and G and do this. You need to make that shoebox for Operation Christmas Child, right? You can be valiant in small ways. There's all kinds of ways that you can be a faithful, true soldier. And we listed. There were several ways you can do that. But I hope you can think about it. I hope you can be challenged by those thoughts and think, okay, how can I be a better soldier this Veterans Day weekend, right? How can I better be a soldier of Christ here in San Bernardino and in your Judea, in your Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this congregation. We thank you for these people. I pray for their lives. I pray for their spiritual walk. I pray for their Christian testimony, that you would just be with them when they're at home, when they walk along the way, when they're at their job, when they're at their school. Lord, just be a testimony. Be a living testimony that people can see that they are true, born-again, regenerated Christians. That people can say, I want that. I want to be like that. So please, help this congregation take the Great Commission very seriously, very dramatically, to San Bernardino and to their Judea, to their Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we just thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Equip them, guide them, strengthen them, convict them to do what you have called them to do. Lord, I just pray blessing on this church. I pray for 60, 70 more years of great service from this church, from great testimony, from equipping world changers, that these kids who study here with the homeschool co-op, that they can be raised up to be pastors and evangelists and Sunday school teachers and bus drivers for churches and ministries, and they can be missionaries. And they can take the gospel to the ends of the earth, be it through the military or through chosen people ministries or as a missionary, Lord. I just pray that you would equip world changers in the Sunday school here and the people in these pews, Lord, that you could show them their great value to you and to your kingdom. So we lift up each one of these people. In Christ's name. Amen.